When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hello, and welcome to this new show called Ayurveda, The Science of Life on UK Health Radio. My name is Dr. Oscar Adukon. I'm working as an Ayurvedic practitioner in Belfast, Northern Ireland, following a career working as a GP, family doctor, indeed, throughout the UK and Ireland. In this show, I will introduce the listener to the ancient system of medicine known as Ayurveda, which is still in use today and growing in popularity worldwide. I will explain the origins and principles of Ayurveda and give clear, simple, understandable explanations for how it can work in our modern lives. I will discuss how Ayurveda can connect us to our own nature, as well as the wider world of nature around us. We are all part of nature and need to restore these connections in our daily lives. I will interview like-minded therapists and health experts to discuss their approach to health and wellness and how it connects with Ayurveda. This show aims to reflect the growing move away from the narrow confines of conventional medicine to a deeper, more holistic and personalized view of health and wellness. Ayurveda is a nature-based system which uses food, simple herbal remedies, daily practices, and herbal-based medications to achieve balance of body and mind. So much of the root cause of illness today are caused by our digestion and lifestyle. Ayurveda teaches us that everything we do in our lives has an effect upon our well-being and health. On this show, I hope to teach you and show you how learning about Ayurveda will benefit you and your health now and into the future. So welcome to the show, Ayurveda, the Science of Life. My name is Dr. Oscar Adukon. I'm an Ayurvedic practitioner and I'm working in Belfast. I have been a doctor for 30 years, as explained in the intro, and now I'm practicing Ayurveda, which is an Indian system of medicine. And on today's show, I would like to discuss a topic that's been really on my mind for a number of years now, and it's the concept of us living in what we call a toxic world. And it can often overwhelm us, this idea that we are living in a world that's harmful to our health. And I'd like to discuss what Ayurveda or an Ayurvedic approach can do to help us manage this feeling, which is real in so many ways. Now, what are the biggest challenges facing us today in medicine in our modern world? Now, the rise in cancer rates in younger age groups and the epidemic explosion of chronic diseases such as diabetes, or chronic heart disease, autoimmune disorders such as thyroiditis, Crohn's disease, rheumatoid arthritis, obesity, digestive disorders such as irritable bowel syndromes, and metabolic disorders in general. So these are significant problems we face today. And the younger generation in particular is susceptible to the increase in these conditions. So what can Ayurveda, which is an ancient system of medicine dating back 5,000 years, what can it teach us about facing these medical challenges? And this is what the show is going to be about today. So I have discussed this in a previous show, but maybe not in this in totality or in the same level of depth And I hope today's show will be able to give us a little bit more confidence that if we look at things in a different way, I would say through an Ayurvedic lens or using Ayurvedic teachings and practices, we can feel a little bit more confident that we can manage our way in this world today, which in many ways is toxic to our health. So let's start with one of the most concerning medical issues of our time today. Why are so many young people getting cancer? Now, as cancer rates, they're increasing in younger people, this causes significant issues managing cancer, which is such a serious illness, at a time in the prime of our lives. This is a time in our lives where we're forging relationships, we're starting to develop networks, we're building our careers, and we're establishing our identity, maybe starting a family and so on. So it's a crucial time in our lives. There's so much going on. And in Ayurveda, this period of our life from 18 to 45 is regarded as the Pitta time, or a time when the Pitta dosha is more prominent in our system, so to speak. Now, Pitta is one of the three doshas, and it's the dosha associated with fire and water. And it's the dosha predominantly to do with transformation and the digestive and metabolic processes within our body. This time of our life is not a time to be confronted with a cancer diagnosis and the issues around treatment and survival and so on. And no time is a time that is good to have a cancer diagnosis, but certainly not at this time in our lives. So this is why it's particularly important today. Now, this trend of earlier cancer diagnosis began with members of the Generation X, it's now visible amongst the millennials. People are diagnosed in their 20s and 30s and their 40s. Decades earlier than in previous generation. And this is a source of puzzlement to medical experts and scientists. So what are the theories as to why this is happening? And when I discuss the early cancer rates, I'm also talking about the explosion in chronic diseases. Diabetes has been diagnosed at earlier rates as well. So it's also, I'm including that in the discussion. So what are the theories as to why this is happening? Now, some of the theories are that maybe some medications taken during pregnancy in the past, the spread of ultra-processed foods, which is clearly a cause of concern, and as books have been published about it and people are talking about it in podcasts and so on. Disruptions to our circadian, our daily rhythms, which are caused by late night work, global travel, and our kind of omnipresent time on screens, or kind of our the focus of our engagement is constantly through screens, and the proliferation of synthetic chemicals in our environment. So this idea of microplastics and chemical exposures in areas that we're not even aware of. Now, these are all under scrutiny at this moment in time, as they represent major changes in our world in the last 30 or 40 years, particularly in our food and in our lifestyle habits and choices. So in other words, in our recent lifetime, now I'm 58 years of age, 59 years of age, and these changes have occurred during my lifetime. And what's more concerning is I wasn't even aware of it. Like lots of us, I'm only starting to become aware of these things in the last number of years, when clearly it's been reported more in the news media and so on. But still, there is so much we don't know about the way we live our lives and how it could be harmful, the world we live in now. So let me start with the background. Now, older people, of course, are still more likely to be diagnosed with chronic diseases and cancer than younger ones. That was always the case. Increase in age is associated with the development of many diseases.
But what's different now is that the cancer rates among people aged 15 to 49 have increased by 10% since 2000, even as they have fallen among older people. So the rates have fallen amongst older people and increased amongst younger people. And this is according to accurate US data. And as we know, what happens with health and societal trends in the US often follow on onto the UK and Europe in subsequent years. What's also concerning is young women are more affected by the increase in these early cancer rates than men. So from the ages of 15 to 49, women have a cancer rate that is 83% higher than men in the same age range. So this is worth repeating. The cancer rate for younger women is 83% higher than for younger men under the age of 49. Now, above the age of 49, the rate for men is 32% higher. And this is a source of great concern at this moment in time, because clearly, if this is a pattern and if it's happening, it's going to increase over time. If it's been happening and we're starting to recognize it now and it's increasing, it's going to increase in the next few decades as well, unless we can find a reason why and address it. And this is why this show is so important today, to raise awareness about this. So where is the main focus of the scientists' investigation to explain these rises? And in this, I'll go back to what I mentioned in the 4 points earlier on, which are to do with maybe maternal exposure in utero, our diet, our circadian rhythm, how it's been disrupted, and the idea that we are there's chemical exposure in our environment that is harmful to our health. So the rise in these early onset cancers. Has drawn a scientist into looking into this in a cooperative way to see if they can find reasons for it. And they're not looking at what we'd call inherited traits, or traits that are passed on genetically from generation to generation. These have remained largely unchanged, but they're looking at taking a wider focus or a wider look at our modern lives and seeing how they have changed, and is there anything in these changes that could be implicated in the increase in these early cancer rates and the increase in chronic illnesses that we're experiencing at this moment in time. They're focusing on our modern diet and our lifestyles to see if they might have a direct effect on our body's cellular function at a level we can't see or appreciate or understand ourselves directly. Think of it like rewriting our cellular fate or destiny. There's something's going on in our bodies that we're not aware of that's causing us to develop these early cancers and these increasingly chronic disease. Once again, it's important to go back to what Ayurveda has always taught us about the three pillars of health. They are, number one, our diet and our digestion, or specifically our digestive fire, or what I've discussed in previous episodes is called our Agni, or the fire within us, which is so important in the processes of metabolism, breaking down our food and the supply of nutrients to different parts of our body. So basically what makes us gives us strength and vigor and vitality. Number two, our sleep. I've had discussed it in episodes before, the importance of sleep and how Ayurveda looks at sleep and how we can promote better habits around sleep. And number three, our lifestyle, our habits, routines and practices, all of these together in a shared kind of understanding of what we can do on a daily basis to maintain and improve our health. So even though there are things that are happening that we don't understand, if we follow these principles of Ayurveda, we have an opportunity to be able to take control of our health and maintain our natural balance to be able to prevent illness and disease developing in our body. So, I'll come back in the next part of the show and discuss a little bit further about the modern science approach to trying to understand what it is in our modern lives that could be factors in us showing these increases in early cancer rates in generations that are growing up now. And I will try and relate it to the teachings and practices and principles of Ayurveda, and how in many ways what is advised in Ayurveda can help us understand why it is we are in the situation we are now. So join me back in a few minutes.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So welcome back to the show. Today is all about living in a toxic world and how Ayurveda can help us manage or negotiate the difficulties we encounter. I've discussed earlier on the concerns there are at this moment in time with the increase in early cancer detection, or increase in early cancer rates in younger and younger people, which is different from our past experience, and also the increase in chronic diseases at earlier ages, which is also different from our past experience. And this is a cause of concern for modern medicine, for scientists, for all of us today, that maybe not us, but certainly our children and their children are more likely to get these disorders earlier in their lives than previously. We all accept and understood that increase in age made us more susceptible at risk of developing cancer or developing chronic illnesses. It is quite a different thing to begin to appreciate that these are happening at earlier ages, and there's something in our world that has changed, and we're trying to understand what it is that could be causing this. Now, there's a wealth of scientific research out there, and I've just gone through some of the papers that I've read about it, and I'll try and explain it as best I can. That the new scientific research is trying to explain the rise in cancers, particularly in earlier and younger people, by looking at the full range of what's called environmental exposures that a person experiences throughout his or her life, even before birth, going back as far as conception, and how these exposures interact with our biology or our nature. And this is something that Ayurveda has described in the past in its teachings. And in modern terms, they've given it a new term, which is called exposome, which I found quite a new word I'd never heard of before. Exposome. And this is explaining the concept that everything we're exposed to has an impact upon our health. Everything. So our environmental exposure and so on, from the time of our conception. We understand the concept of prenatal care, antenatal care, in terms of if there's problems with the alcoholism in the mother or drug abuse in the mother, it can have an effect upon the fetus. But this is the most extreme example of this maternal exposure to harmful episode experiences. Now, this concept of an exposome is very similar to the Ayurvedic teachings, which describe our prakriti, or our natural constitution. And this is determined at conception, and also our vikriti, which is our current balance of our doshas of vata, pitta and kapha. So the vikriti represents our current state of health at this moment in time. Now, we are most in balance or nearest our natural constitution when our doshas, of Vata, Pitta and Kapha, our natural combination of these doshas, is closest to our natural state of Prakriti. In other words, when we're more like our natural selves, or near our natural constitution of body and mind, we are in perfect balance. So Ayurveda teaches us that this state of Vikruti, or our current health, is determined by many, many factors. External factors from environment, lifestyle, habits, routines, and internal factors which are to do with our diet and digestion, essentially. This is a rough approximation of how Ayurveda teaches it. But you can understand that Ayurveda had this concept of an exposome many thousands of years ago, but it's been described now in modern science, or been re-explained, so to speak, in modern science. So if Ayurveda understood the totality of factors, all of these factors which affect our health, what is the modern science explanation of it? Now, modern science is now taking this retrospective look back at our lives today and the changing world that we inhabit. So it's analysing the last number of decades and see what's different from then until now. And could there be, you know, some factors in this that are causing these increase in early cancer rates and increase in chronic illnesses that we're seeing? So the science are looking at a window of time that really started probably around the 1960s and 70s and then accelerated or increased through the 80s and beyond, so that we've a new wave of new exposures or factors that have entered our daily lives. For instance, certain medications taken during pregnancy may disrupt fetal development, or the programming of gene activities at this early stage in our development, which may potentially increase our risk or our susceptibility to these early onset cancers. So this is a theory, this is a hypothesis that has been put out there. So they're looking back at what could have caused this by examining cohorts or large groups of people over time. So exposure to environmental chemicals, including those in microplastics that accumulate in tissues after being ingested or inhaled or consumed, that these can increase the risk of hormonal imbalances, of genetic mutations or changes in the genetic code, which might trigger an illness. They may also increase inflammation, which is a common topic we talk about today, the role of chronic inflammation in causing disease, and have other effects that we were not aware of that may contribute to these early cancers. A diet that contains large quantities of highly processed food, we've heard about ultra-processed food, this can influence our cancer risk by similarly promoting inflammation, causing obesity, and causing metabolic changes that can trigger what's called tumorigenesis, or the tumor cell growth goes out of control and leads to cancer. So disruptions and also disruptions of our circadian rhythms, these may have effects on impair. They might impair or disrupt the DNA, the repair of DNA, these mechanisms that occur on a regular basis throughout our body as part of tissue repair and so on. They may have caused disruptions in our hormonal and in our metabolic and our immune regulation. These are all critical functions within the body to maintain health. And these changes, these effects may heighten the risk of early onset cancers. So, like, the research of this is vast, as you could imagine, but it's beginning to align or to come into agreement around what is, quite frankly, a frightening hypothesis and quite a provocative one as well. And it essentially states that all of these factors that I've described, these exposures in this exposome that we are living in, so to speak, the modern world we're living in, may be accelerating biological aging. So they're priming the body for disease earlier than expected. So we may look younger on the outside, we may strive for eternal youth and so on, but inside, these changes are occurring that are making us older quicker. We are, even though we're living longer, we are getting older quicker, or at least we are at a cellular level within the body cells and tissues. And this is quite a frightening concept to consider, as you can imagine.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So welcome back to the show today, Ayurveda, the Science of Life. On today's show, I'm discussing the concept of us living in a toxic world, and I do appreciate it may have been rather depressing to listen to the last part of the show describing the concerns we have in modern medicine and in the world we live in today with the early rates of cancer diagnosis, the increase in cancer diagnosis at earlier years, and the explosion in chronic illnesses that we're experiencing. In other words, we may be living longer, but we're getting older quicker at a tissue or cellular level. So the theory is that this is causing us to be more at risk of developing these disorders earlier in life. So the generations that is living now and the generations to come are at risk of getting these disorders earlier than, say, the older generations, such as I was born in the 1960s. So on the show today, I'd like to discuss the scientific evidence into why this might be the case, and also what it is about Ayurveda that may be able to help, or are using an Ayurvedic approach to try and mitigate the factors that may be causing these earlier cancer rates and increases in chronic diseases. So what is the hard evidence then to support the concerns that we have about these earlier cancer rates and increases in chronic diseases? So often we have to look at America for these because they do quite a lot of the data that we rely on for these studies. And there was a study in the last number of years run by the American Association for Cancer Research. And this found that the people born between 1981 and 1996 appear to be aging biologically faster than previous generations. This is based on biomarkers that are checked in the blood and the health of various organs like the heart and liver and so on. And this acceleration was associated with an increased risk up to maybe 40% or so for certain cancers, especially cancers affecting the lung and the gastrointestinal tract and the uterus in females. So how can we pinpoint exactly what these causative factors are? Are, as in Ayurveda, are described as the root causes. And this, as you can imagine, is very difficult because our modern lives are very complex and it's very difficult to pinpoint specific causes for things like this, particularly when you're looking back. But there are advances in technology with digital health screening tools, this concept of measuring biomarkers I mentioned earlier on, so more advanced blood test. There's gene analysis as well as machine learning, which can help scientists to study all these variables that are at play in a way that they can kind of extract conclusions from large quantities of data to come up with conclusions. So and as you can imagine, much of this work in this area is in its early stages. And it hasn't proved a direct cause and effect in humans. If you think about, say, the link between smoking and lung cancer that took many decades to you know, to be conclusive, even though the suspicions were there for many years that there was a direct link. You can imagine that something as complicated as this will take several decades, maybe to definitively prove. But the evidence that's coming from what we call epidemiological studies, so these are studies of population and the patterns of disease that occur in populations. They come from observational studies, which track people's behaviours and their exposures without actually an intervention. And some animal models are also used for some of these tests, of these hypotheses by doing experiments on animal models to see if they can extract any conclusions or any data from these tests. So as you can imagine, that there's a lot of data, and sometimes overinterpretation of data and stuff can lead to false conclusions. But there is a growing data that a lot of these harmful exposures in today's environment, that in the environment we live in today, we are experiencing a lot of harmful exposures. But it's easy. We shouldn't panic and think everything new is toxic, because it's not always as simple as that. But there are concerns about microplastics, synthetic chemicals that are lining our homes, our food, and our clothes. And even with some modern medicines, they depend on the same substances that may be contributing to the problem. And it is easy to be overwhelmed by everything we read and see and hear. We're certainly suffering from information overload in the current kind of world that we live in, where information is so readily accessible. So I really feel this is an important point, that this is where the simplicity and truth of Ayurvedic teachings that date back thousands of years and the practices they advocate, they play a crucial role in helping us and bringing us back to the basics of preventative health and maintaining our natural balance to remain well and to as much as possible be immune to disease or disorder. Or if we do develop a disease, we can treat and manage it more effectively. We must also understand that we experience the world and our environment through our five senses. We experience the world through the five senses of sight, sound, smell, touch, and taste. And any disruption in these experiences of the senses can cause illness. So are there any other developing health concerns apart from the increase in cancer rates in young people? Well, researchers have noticed deeper trends in human health over the last number of decades. A number of major diseases, from heart disease to Alzheimer's disease and dementia, aren't just being detected earlier. They're actually starting earlier in life as well. And you may know somebody who's been in a similar situation. We all assume that these illnesses occur in people in their 70s and 80s, but we're seeing it more commonly in earlier decades, which is a source of concern for all of us. So as with cancer, the increase in early cancer rates, it seems that this idea of accelerated aging is contributing to the rise in chronic illnesses and earlier diagnosis. So once again, I'm discussing a lot of information here, and clearly it seems an attractive explanation to talk about accelerated aging as a cause of people getting diseases that we thought associated with later in life, earlier in life. But the evidence is increasingly pointing in that direction. So what are the possible causes? Maternal medications. We have certainly in the second half of the 20th century, there has been a change in how pregnancy has been managed, what's called the active pregnancy management. And part of this change has meant that women giving birth in the second half of the 20th century were treated with drugs, not as an exception, but as a standard. Antidepressants, anti-nausea medications, antibiotics, hormonal treatments, even some in combinations, sometimes all in one trimester. This became the norm. It wasn't like that in the past. Or what has often been described as a medicalization of pregnancy, which is essentially a normal life event. So with the benefit of hindsight and examining how events have unfolded over this period, for instance, we all know the story of the link between the morning sickness drug thalidomide and the birth defects that were reported in the 1960s. It's a bit more complicated than that. So if a drug's real risk is not apparent in the days or weeks after birth, but only shows years or maybe decades later, you can understand how it's difficult to make those cause and effect connections. But this is what we're having to look at now, having to look in more detail and trying to extrapolate and trying to connect. Perhaps there may have been some prenatal or in utero exposure to medicines that have been harmful in some way we weren't aware of until much later. And this is what's focused the scientists and researchers to look back into this prenatal or the gestation period of life during pregnancy. And recently in the US, links have been established between two drugs that are associated with an increased risk of developing early onset cancers. One called Bendectin was used as an anti-nausea drug given to women early in pregnancy, and it's been shown to have it caused a 3.6% increase in colon cancer rates in the children whose mothers were given this during early stages of pregnancy. Another drug called hydroxyprogesterone caproate is a drug that was used to prevent miscarriage, and this has been shown to have increased the lifetime risk of cancer by double in the children whose mothers have been treated with it during pregnancy. And both of them have been removed from the market by the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, 1983 for Bendectin and 2023 for hydroxyprogesterone caproate. But as you can imagine, these are only two drugs that the links have been established for. There may be other drugs that we're not aware of at this moment in time that could be implicated with the early rates of cancer diagnosis. And diet. Of course, diet is something that's crucial and fundamental in Ayurveda. We talk about the digestive fire, the importance of food, the importance of food as a balancing factor, the tastes that are involved in food, the qualities of different foods, and how they can be used in combination or individually to help us maintain balance if we are imbalanced in any way in our doshas. Now, what's happened in the last number of decades in our food habits is very important. So we have to look, what could the role of diet in these early cancer rates and increases in chronic disease, what could the role of diet be? If we look back in the last 30, 40 years, shelf-stable snacks, frozen foods, sugary cereals, reconstituted meals, have become the norm. If you walk around in the supermarket today, everything is in boxes and packages. That was very different from what it was maybe 40, 50 years ago. It's a drastic change in our food habits from the generations in the past. Those generations, even I can almost remember it myself, we grew up with the diets that were mostly made up of meals that were cooked at home with what we call now whole foods, which is effectively foods that we can recognize. There are some, stories about children who cannot recognize simple foods and vegetables and fruits because they're so used to modern diet habits of buying in supermarkets, buying our food in boxes and packages. Now, today, ultra-processed foods account for more than half of the daily calorific intake in the United States. And what's happening in the United States is happening in other Western countries. These foods they're designed for flavor, convenience, shelf stability, long life, and they've been directly linked with rising rates of obesity and metabolic diseases, and perhaps also a rise in cancer in younger adults. There was a study in the British Medical Journal, which is an esteemed British publication, in 2023, which showed that heavy consumption of ultra-processed foods was significantly linked with developing several cancers, including colorectal cancer and breast cancer. And these are two of the most common cancers in people under 50. So if you think about it, the food and the colon cancer. Colon is the end part of the gut. The connection can be established if we understand that. But also other cancers as well. We're talking about thyroid, skin cancers, cancers of the testes. These are all cancers that are more common in younger adults. So they're the most common cancers in younger adults. And what's particularly important is that young people are more likely to suffer late diagnosis, or it's picked up late, because we don't expect younger patients to have cancer. They don't expect to have cancer, and neither do the doctors that they see. So we don't catch them as early as we do in later patients, or patients who are older, or in later life. And this is also important because in Ayurveda, we are taught to watch for signs of imbalance, to identify disease earlier and address these root causes to prevent the progression of a disease. And this is a fundamental principle in Ayurveda, to be aware of our body, to be self-aware of the changes that are occurring in all aspects of our body and mind so that we can identify things earlier. And why could it be that there is a link between these ultra-processed foods and developing early onset cancers? Now, scientists have looked at this in lots of different ways, and they have a number of explanations. And it's not just to do the weight gain. There may be some chronic inflammation caused by the additives or the ingredients within these foods. There certainly is evidence that the emulsifiers within the foods that are added automatically cause disruption in our gut microbiome, which is so fundamentally important to our overall health, which is what Ayurveda has taught again and again, that all diseases have a root cause in our digestion. There may be some carcinogenic or cancer-causing compounds which occur during the cooking or process, or preparing or processing of these foods. And also, there may be excess sugar and carbohydrates which are added to the foods, which will have a role in causing disorders such as diabetes to occur earlier and earlier in our lives. And also the packaging. This may play a role in leaching chemicals, particularly when they are heated, from the plastics which have an effect on disrupting the balance of hormones in our body. So how can Ayurveda help in this small area of foods? We're going to devote an entire program to this, but basically, Ayurveda always recommends whole foods, ideally cooked and freshly prepared. We talk about the concept of eating soul food, which would be seasonal, organic, unprocessed and local. To eat according to your constitution, or any imbalance that you can identify within yourself at that moment in time. And to use herbal remedies and drinks to maintain balance, and using herbs and spices to help with the balance profile of the foods. And this brings me on to another area. The idea that we are, in our modern world, we're suffering a disruption in our circadian rhythm. Now, we know every organism on Earth, from bacteria to humans, they run on a biological clock. But over the last number of decades, particularly our 24/7 digital connectivity, our kind of erratic work schedules, our kind of busier and busier lives, has fundamentally altered how we eat, how we sleep, how we rest. It's been shown in Ayurveda that we said for thousands of years, we live according to rhythms of nature. We've been programmed to do so since the dawn of time. And the melatonin is a sleep hormone. It's produced in darkness and plays a crucial role in this circadian rhythm, this natural circadian rhythm. And any disruption in this has been linked to an increased rate of cancer in younger populations. So it's really important that we respect the daily rhythm, that Ayurveda teaches us it's to the importance of regular routines, to respect our natural body clock and our daily circadian rhythms. Our sleep times, our wake times, our meal times and our activities need to be regular or else we will suffer. Sleep is particularly important, and it's mentioned as the second pillar of health in Ayurveda after diet and before lifestyle. So sleep is one of the really important regular activities we need to get scheduled and regular. Otherwise, we will suffer. Our bodies will suffer. Our minds will suffer, and our tissues and our cells will eventually suffer. And this is the teaching of Ayurveda for thousands of years, and it's been proved. It's been verified by a lot of the current modern scientific research. Now, lastly, I can mention the chemicals and microplastics, but it really is an area which is such a vast area. It's very difficult to cover in a short period of time, but it does tie in with the idea of eating local, unprocessed, organic foods as much as possible, to avoid packaging in food, to avoid as exposure to chemicals and plastics unnecessarily, because it's extremely difficult. It's extremely difficult to be able to avoid all of these environmental toxins, but as much as possible, where we can, we must. Now, I feel it's been a bit of a whistle-stop tour of the dangers of living in this toxic modern world we're in, but if we have an Ayurvedic approach or an Ayurvedic thinking about things, I feel it does help us manage them in a more practical way. We feel a little bit more in control of what we can do to prevent illness. I hope you've enjoyed today's show, and I'll wrap up with my usual messages. Tune in again next week for more discussion about Ayurveda. There's always loads to discuss. You can find more information on my website, anamayurveda.com, which is anam spelled anamayurveda.com. Anam is the Irish word for soul. Until then, as we say in Irish, Cree Fallon Fod Seal. Healthy heart, long life. Take care.